Yes, love is begging door to door, but finds the silence like no one lives there anymore.
It's all good in the hood. Everybody smile all the time, every time, everybody happy. It's the Side Quest episode 515. The skies are gray, but there's sun in our lives. I'm one of your hosts, Dolly Domofsky. Joining me, as usual, the wonderful Stephen Smith.
What?
I'm going to start combining your guys' names to one person. Stephen Strom.
It's since we started our relationship, Eric, people in the media specifically, has been coming up with cute pet names for us.
Eric Smith.
Indeed.
And joining us, I think this is maybe your second time on the show. Who knows? Matt Champion!
Yep, something like that.
And Eric's gone, thankfully.
Eric and I broke up, guys. I'm sorry to break here on the podcast. This is a scoop.
In about a second, he's going to send me a message that says, can you send me another invite to the Google chat?
You should tell him no. Tell him you've reached your quota.
Too late, too late. Welcome, wonderful, esteemed guests on this America's favorite video game podcast. And listeners, welcome to America's Favorite Video Game Podcast, your favorite video game podcast, where we talk about games and stuff we've been playing and some news. And we're trying to make this a positive podcast because there's been some negativity over the last week or so in the gaming industry. So we're going to try to make things good in the hood.
We're all wearing our Justin Russo branded Stay Posy pins.
Stay Posy. That's right. We need to get him to make some more for us. Maybe we can make those for side questing and donate it to charity. Might not be bad.
I'm sure he'd want to get paid.
Yeah, well, you know what? Fuck him.
let's just rip off his design.
Forget being positive. Fuck Justin Russo.
Okay, for the record, guys, just to reiterate, Eric and I are back together. Our roller coaster relationship has gone through some twists and turns, but we've talked, we've gone through counseling, and now we're back together.
I have no idea what's going on right now because my video drivers just crashed on me.
Good.
And I had to refresh.
That's what you get.
Mm-hmm.
Life with Windows 8, guys, it's a ton of fun.
I have had pretty much no problems with Windows 8, except when it does the... You know, we are going to restart your computer in 45 minutes or whatever thing.
Suckers.
It doesn't give me a notification. It just does it immediately.
No, it says, like, you can cancel or postpone, and you click on either one. It's like, we don't care. We're resetting anyways. Like, this is happening.
This is your whole day now. Just live with it.
No, I have my video card drivers crash on me probably once or twice a week.
Hey, you know what would probably fix that? Don't use Windows 8.
Oh, snap!
Ooh, boom.
You know what? I actually think the hassle of having this crash once or twice a week is worth it for how quick this goddamn operating system is.
That is true. It is pretty snappy.
It is blazing fast.
It's a lighter operating system, which probably helps. Right?
Yeah, it's half the... Mac, like any OS X, which is crazy to me. I'm like, I'm used to Windows Vista and Windows 7, which
Windows Vista.
That was goddamn insane.
I think I completely skipped Windows Vista. I think that's the only one I've skipped since XP.
I bought two Dell laptops for about $500 total in 2007 that came with Vista pre-installed. Man, that sucked.
Oh, I feel sorry for you.
I had 2 years with that goddamn operating system.
I'm still looking at that, was it the Razer Edge Pro, I believe it is?
Well, that's that new laptop thing?
Yeah, I'm still thinking about getting that. It's Windows 8, but it's totally geared around gaming and has a really nice setup.
Well, plus it's a touchscreen.
It's touchscreen, and I get the dev... the dev discount too, so
you don't want anything Windows 7 for touchscreen.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Okay. That is just a regular ass laptop, though, right? That's not like an NVIDIA Shield type thing, or
no? Yeah, it's not one of those crazy. Although it does have like a little mini touchscreeny thing it's on the keypad.
Okay.
So it's kind of cool.
So it's what, like a what, like a regular laptop and has a little touchscreen keypad on the keyboard?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, which is kind of cool. You could throw some stuff on there, but gaming related or arts related.
But it's an actual screen, not a trackpad.
Correct. It's an actual screen because the trackpad is separate, I believe.
Okay.
Don't quote me on it. I haven't looked at it for a couple weeks yet, but.
Dali Demoski of SideQuesting.com.
Yes. Anyway, so, yeah, we're going to have a great, great show today. We're actually going to keep this to about an hour if we can, because I got to get some sleep. I haven't been sleeping well.
Don't make promises you can't keep, Dali.
Well, I have a timer already started on my phone, so it's going to buzz me every time we run long on a segment.
And we're wasting time with this?
Exactly. Well, that's the normal part. We usually spend about 45 minutes wasting time and 15 minutes of actual talk about games. But, Matt, since you brought it up, and you are our guest this week, how about you let me know what you've been playing lately?
Well, it's some real thrilling stuff. Mostly Animal Crossing. All day, every day. Except when I'm not. So pretty much like for like an hour a day, maybe. Yep, just catching them bugs, paying off that debt.
Did you see my
that it's Animal Crossing?
Did you see my image earlier today? The sketch that I did of what my reminder screen looks like on my iPhone?
Yes, and I cried a little bit because that is genius and I didn't think of it.
I've been using my reminders on my iPhone for scheduling when I have to go over stupid animals' houses or to let me know how many bells are the turnips and so forth. I think you got to remember that stuff.
Have either of you guys checked out that horrifying house thing that everybody's been talking about recently?
No, I haven't got – for some reason I haven't been able to I don't know if I can do that yet, get onto the international islands or whatever that is. I think it's a dream suite, yeah.
Oh, I have that. I don't know what the point of it is.
Yeah, well, you can get into other houses, and I guess there's like the horror house. Horror house.
There's some guy, I think some Japanese guy, within Animal Crossing, made some kind of like haunted mansion type thing that tells some kind of creepy story of like a girl being killed by her own collection of dolls or something like that. I'm not totally sure how it works, but that's the one everybody's been talking about.
So Japan.
Yeah.
I may have to track this down.
Yeah,
that's why the...
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that's why, scientifically proven, that's the reason why so many people can live on the island of Japan. It's such a geographically small area, but they keep the population down because the kids are constantly being eaten by monsters crawling out of their TVs and various other Ju-on-style things. Those are documentaries.
Sounds about right.
The look of like just non-interest on Dali's face when I started talking made that entire.
Well,
like,
you mentioned Ju-on, and I don't watch enough Japanese horror movies, but I mean it sounded cool. I'm interested to see how he's pulled it off. You know, there's with things like this and you know, Little Big Planet and so forth. I think you know. It's just kind of cool to see people create stuff when there's the opportunity to do so. That's it.
Would you say that it's impressive that he could play, create, share?
Yeah. Play, create, share. I think you're right.
Okay. Yeah. Dali has no idea what I'm talking about.
I remember the play, create, share, the ad campaign. All right.
Or just no one cares.
Yeah. So Animal Crossing. You drop in an hour or so a day. I think that's what basically everybody is doing, just kind of checking in, grab a few bells here and there, and jump out.
Yep, pretty much.
Animal Crossing is Farmville for people who will stand it.
Yep.
Except it's better than Farmville.
Definitely. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, I don't either. And I own it, so...
You own Farmville.
I remember playing a lot of the last one on DS.
Uh-huh.
And then I dipped my toes into Farmville to see what it was all about.
Oh,
I seem to remember them being a lot alike.
The advantages now, I mean, it's definitely much more of a social experience now. I mean, it's not a true MMO, but I don't know how, you know, I think I don't know if I'd actually even want an MMO Animal Crossing. Maybe that would be a completely different type of experience.
You'd never have any trees.
Yeah, you wouldn't have any trees. My daughter, by the way, just went and chopped down every single tree I had on one half of my freaking town for no reason. Three-year-olds. I think the social aspect now is what really does a great job of that's the only thing that's kind of kept me going on Animal Crossing. And this is basically the first time I've gone past like 20 minutes in Animal Crossing game without becoming incredibly bored and forgetting about it. I had Wild World. I think I had the GameCube version. They were just boring as crap to me. And this is the first time I think that I've actually been somewhat wrapped up in it. I think, again, it's that whole social aspect thing that seems to be working better than Farmville, because I hated the spamming on Farmville.
The GameCube version of Animal Crossing, I clocked in about 500 hours with.
Wow.
Maybe it was like 600, because I would just leave my system on for like days at a time to remember to get stuff.
Yeah, this is the first one I've played since the original version.
Oh, wow.
So it was a nice little change. Okay.
How many hours do you have to clock in before Tom Nook crawls out of the TV?
Well? Comes out of the well?
It's random. Anywhere between 1 and 3.5 million.
It depends on if you see the wet footsteps in the house.
Do you get like a note on your refrigerator that just says, "I'll break your fucking legs"?
No, you get in your mailbox, not in the refrigerator.
Where's my money, bitch?
where are my bills at?
Fuck you, pay me.
What else have you been playing?
StarCraft 2.
Okay.
I dive into the multiplayer in that a little bit. I'm gonna try and get all sorts of mediocre at it, because at the moment I am real awful.
When you say mediocre, do you mean mediocre for normal people, or do you just mean bad for everyone?
Decent enough that I am not horrible and can actually win games.
I didn't know if you were going to say you actually hate yourself every minute you play.
No,
but you're not terrible.
What league are you in? Let's get that.
I don't have one yet. I've not put enough.
He's Wood League.
Wood League.
Pretty much. No, I
Bush League. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
God damn it. No, I've mostly just been putting in some time with the AI just to try and learn some stuff and get a little faster, and then I'll actually dive into proper online and getting murdered by people that have way too much time.
The 3-rack stim push, and you will win all the way into gold.
Eric, tell me about 9 pylon.
You put a pylon out at 9 supply every time as Protoss.
Yup, that's what I play as Protoss. So.
That's the StarCraft update for the week, kids.
Mass Void Race. Mass Void Race.
Okay.
But then I also finished Uncharted 3 last week.
I'm sorry.
Shut up. I liked it.
It's not a good game.
I didn't love the game, but I liked it.
So I had a PS3 for about a month here that I was borrowing from my brother. And so I played through 2 and then picked up 3. And 2 is much better.
Oh, yeah, 2 is one of the greatest games of the generation.
But 3 is okay, except for the part where you just shoot everything all the time.
We'll get into a similar situation when we talk about the news. Yeah.
But it was enjoyable.
Yeah. It's not a bad game, but I think it's...
It's a solid 6.
Heresy. Yeah, that is not correct. Thank you, Steven.
I won't call it heresy.
It's above average. That's the way I see it.
It's well above average to me.
It is not.
But it does. It did ramble. The game is kind of like our podcast in that they just ramble and go off on tangents that don't need to be there. Maybe that's held it back from being a perfect 10 that Uncharted 2 was. But yeah, great. Still a great game.
And you made a perfect 5, Dally. Read your own site.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Cool. Awesome. Good deal. Were you playing any of these games for the 7 and 7, which we're all failing miserably at, by the way?
I've completed 4 games.
Yeah, I did. I did 3. Uncharted 3 was on there.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
I've got. I've got a. two I've completed. Well, I'll just dive into what I'm talking about, because I know Eric and Stephen will take about 45 minutes to talk about their games. So I played Lollipop Chainsaw. I'm on the second to last chapter of that, so I should have that finished hopefully tonight if I'll make it in time for the 7 and 7. So that'll be. I think that we're gonna do that final post Friday. Because we did start kind of late. We started a couple days late, but
does Lollipop Chainsaw have you at all excited for Guardians of the Galaxy?
Why would it do that?
Because it was written by the guy who's going to be writing and directing.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned it. You know what? You and I had a conversation about this, Stephen. I think we were just chatting the other day, but freaking, I love the writing in the game. Lollipop Chainsaw is genuinely funny. It's witty. The characters are really interesting. I really do think that it's not an Uncharted 3 by any means, but it's a fun game. I mean, for what the game is designed to be, just a fun romp, I think it works out fantastically. Yes, so I am now much more excited about Guardians of the Galaxy, definitely. And Lollipop Chainsaw, it's a good short game. It's one of my 7 and 7. It's like maybe a 6 hour game at most, 5 to 6 hours. I'm sure there's already been speed runs. People plow through it in like 3.5 hours, but it's good. It's a good, fun, great weekend game. Great way to kill a Saturday and killing zombies.
Does it feature any talking raccoons?
There are some scenes of drug usage where animals are really bizarre. Like chickens, but other than that, no.
Okay. So, well, then I can say
animals are bizarre.
Yeah.
As in, like, a raccoon would be a chicken because you're.
It could be it. Out. Maybe there you go. Yeah. So I've been playing that and I'm enjoying it. I'll have that completed. And I also I switched out Pikmin 2 since Pikmin 3 is dropping this weekend. I said, to hell with that. I don't want to ruin my Pikmin 3 experience by playing Pikmin 2 right away. So I switched that out with, well, and I'll wait till Pikmin 2 later on. But I switched it out for Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed, which I had sitting on my rack. I'd only played it like once or twice before the winter kind of set in. But goddamn, that is a fantastic racing game. And I've been playing, I went through the kind of main, there's like two or three different ways you could progress through like a single player mode, and your racers can upgrade and all that stuff, you know, experience levels and things like that, which I haven't really figured out what that does, but it's just a cool little carrot at the end of the stick. A bunch of unlockable characters. I think the last time, and this tells you how far back it's been since the last time I played it, popped the disc in and it says, congratulations, we've now installed the free content that we gave you over the holidays, Christmas holiday, the new Alex Kidd downloadable character. I'm like, wow, it's been since like Christmas since I played the game. But it's tons of fun. I'm playing it on the Wii U, which is a great version because flipping it from the gamepad screen to the TV screen literally just takes like a flip. You know, you just touch the gamepad screen and flick upward, and it's on the TV screen. You flip down, it's on the gamepad. It's just a cool little integration. And if you're playing on the TV, obviously you get the map and power ups and shit in the bottom. But I'm enjoying great visuals. The racing is solid, and I'm really liking it. And I was surprised at by how much I was going to enjoy the game. But if anybody's played it for any of their consoles, it's available all over the place and on sale everywhere.
I think I have it on PC.
Yeah, I think everybody has it on PC. Probably picked it up on Steam somehow. But
yeah, I think I got it for like $6 or something.
Totally worth it. It is at this point, it's my favorite party racer, like a kart racing type of game. I think between this and Mario Kart 7, I think it's between the two. I love both those games for different reasons, but it's great. Great game. Definitely worth picking up.
I had heard that it was pretty good, although... Yeah. To those listening, yeah, it is available on just about everything.
Yeah,
apparently,
totally pick it up.
I don't get the 3DS version apparently because that's not very good. Apparently, that's what people have been saying.
Yeah, I haven't touched it.
I think it's got like fewer tracks or
it
doesn't run very well or something like that. I was watching
glitches
this
or something. Okay,
I don't know.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend getting it for like a console. You want it on a bigger screen because it actually looks really nice on a big screen. I mean, like again, the visuals are surprisingly. Surprisingly good for a kart racer. That's all I have to say about that. Transformations are fun. So I've been playing those two. I'm sure I've been playing other things. I picked up a bunch of iOS games, but yeah, so that's all right. That's what I've been playing.
Yes, okay.
How about you, Steven? Let's go down your list, because we haven't done your list. We haven't done your list in a while.
It's a pretty light week.
I'm absolutely not playing Hotline Miami right now, guys.
yeah, I can play that too.
Yeah, it's a pretty light. Oh, thanks, thanks, Matt. I didn't. thanks for chiming in there.
No problem.
It's a light week. It's a light week.
It's a light week. Only 40 games.
Only 40 games on this list. I've been playing Dota 2, Shin Megami Tensei 4, mm-hmm. Pixel Junk Monsters Ultimate HD, Shadowrun Returns, Skulls of the Shogun Bonafide Edition, Ibn Ob, Stealth Inc., A Clone in the Dark, and then assorted other games that I have already talked about on the podcast and don't need to talk about again.
So we didn't talk about Shin Megami Tensei 4 last week, because we kind of hopped in. So, and I'm really curious about this and about Shadowrun in a little bit here, but... So I picked up Shin Megami Tensei 4, and I thought, you know what? Steven's been raving about this series. You know, he always has great things about this, to say about it. I'm going to pick this up. And it's $50. And I got for the special edition. I got home, just about ready to open it, and then I realized, you know what? I got buyer's remorse, because I will not get to this anytime soon, because August is going to get packed. September might be the only time that I get some, maybe get some free time. But there's a couple
games. Except September, you're going to be catching up on games before, like, GTA.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to play GTA. I'm not a GTA guy. So I'm already saying it now. So I returned it. I'm looking forward to Steven's thoughts about the game because, again, he's a super... You've been recommending it to me nonstop. And,
well...
Or recommending a series to me, I should say.
Well, that's... that's a tough thing to actually say. I don't know that I've actually been, like, raving about this specific series. Okay. The Shin Megami Tensei series is strange in that...
Sure.
There's about 37 and a half series in this universe, so, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and none of them... Well, very few of them play similarly or have similar themes, and they're all done by different teams. I've definitely raved about Persona. Persona 4 is one of the greatest games ever made, if not the greatest game ever made.
It's not anywhere... No.
I knew even what Persona game was.
What Persona game?
I don't know anything about them.
Well, you read a Wikipedia, because I'm not talking about them here. I'm talking about Shin Megami Tensei 4.
They are RPGs with a high school dating sim in them.
Oh, so it's Japan.
Yes.
Okay.
But they're incredible.
It's a good game, but is nowhere close to the greatest game ever made.
So once Eric is done being wrong about things on his podcast, I'll start talking about Shin Megami Tensei 4. It is the fourth in the sort of main line of Shin Megami Tensei games, which started back in like the mid to late 80s, I think, in Japan. The first two games were never translated into English. So this is only the second, but those are fan translations, I believe.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But never officially released in America, sure. I should say.
This but easily is so, available, if you care.
Yes, super easy to get a hold of. You can even actually buy the untranslated Japanese versions on iPhone right now, if you are so inclined, or if you read Japanese, I guess. So this is the second Shin Megami Tensei main series game in America. It has almost nothing to do with the previous game, Shin Megami Tensei 3, which was a PlayStation 2 game, or the other two, which is something that the main series has been kind of, you know, getting more and more mm-hmm. towards as it's been going. It is a dungeon crawler in, you know, the original sort of traditional sense of, like, Japanese dungeon crawlers. It's actually, I played the game for like 10 hours thinking it was basically going to be Persona 3, which is a single dungeon with multiple floors that you travel through the entire time. But actually 10 hours in, yeah, I found out that there's actually a hub world when you reach the underground city of Tokyo. So you can see where this is, the fantastical this is getting. It is some kind of weird mix of medieval Japanese fantasy, like samurai and that sort of thing, and sort of post-apocalyptic cyberpunk. There are these two kingdoms, Mikado and Tokyo is sort of post-apocalyptic version of itself now, whereas Mikado is sort of a feudal Japan, which is built on top of a ceiling above Tokyo. But once you reach Tokyo, it is this massive sort of hub world of dungeons that you crawl through, and the sort of mainstay of the Shin Megami Tensei franchise is that you, to get new party members, you negotiate with your enemies, who are demons from sort of folklore and popular fiction and all kinds of things, mm-hmm. and you negotiate with them through various means, and you get them on your team, and then you confuse them into new demons, and sometimes they evolve Pokemon style, all kinds of stuff like that. But kind of the most important thing about the game is that it is systemically easily the most complicated game in the entire Shin Megami Tensei franchise, but at the same time manages to somehow feel incredibly streamlined and incredibly worked down somehow, even though it has probably more systems in it than any Shin Megami Tensei game I've ever seen. It is presented to you in such an easily digestible way that it never becomes overbearing.
And so you're saying they decided to not pretend they were making a game in 1995 for once?
Yeah, basically a Japanese role-playing developer said to themselves, oh, wait, maybe we should make a game that people can actually play. It almost seems at times to the detriment of the game's sort of fiction, because the fiction sometimes seems to take kind of a backseat to the fact that everything is so well crafted on the gameplay side of things, because it takes so much time to sort of exposit to you how the systems work, and there's such a focus on the systems that it seems like sometimes they cut corners in the character development stuff. Like, what I'm saying is that there's no kanji in this game, you know, no kanji Tatsumi.
Which is a negative.
Yes. You're not going to fall in love with any of the characters. At least I haven't yet. Like you do in a Persona. And partially because it is a more... The mainline FMT games are always more standard, traditional dungeon crawlers than Persona, which has, like, you know, the life sim thing in it. I've played a whole hell of a lot of it, probably more of it than any other RPG I've played since Persona 4 the Golden came out last year.
So like a whole 5 months maybe?
But but before then there was a pretty long dry spell. I haven't really gotten super invested in an JRPG particularly in a very long time. And I think part of why what keeps me going forward is that it is so systemically interesting. And that the gameplay, the combat is so interesting, even though at times the characters are a little bit less so. It has gotten more interesting as I've gone along the story, and the themes surrounding it seem a little bit more interesting, too. There's sort of a morality system at play, which is a mainstay for the series. There's multiple endings depending on where you go. It doesn't get crazy like Shin Megami Tensei 3, which I think has like 16 endings. I believe there are 3 endings in this, but... So it's pretty interesting. It kind of takes bits and pieces of every single Shin Megami Tensei franchise and sort of mushes them all together. The actual turn-based stuff seems straight out of Devil Survivor, whereas the actual dungeon crawling is definitely Persona 3, Persona 4, where you can see the enemies on the screen before they approach you, and you can try to attack them to get a preemptive strike and do damage to them before they even enter the battlefield. There's a lot of really gorgeous 2D art in this game, which is kind of new for the... Or at least it wasn't in Shin Megami Tensei 3. Most of the battles are depicted in 2D hand-drawn stuff, and it looks gorgeous. There's a lot of sort of references to some of the more obscure Shin Megami Tensei games, which especially Strange Journey, which has been kind of weird and interesting. So I'm interested to see where that's going, but... I kind of want to write an article about the how the gameplay actually works in the game, because it is super interesting how they sort of meld all of these different ideas together. Things like press turns, which have been in previous games, and things like smirks and the way that the dungeon crawling works, where you can see the enemies and attack them beforehand, stuff like that. But it is so streamlined. I really find that interesting, and I really want to kind of delve into it deeper, but so far I'm still kind of just running through it.
So
I'm going to cut myself off before I go on.
Before you ramble even more. Well, I was going to ask, Everything I've been hearing about this game is that it's very difficult. Some people even liken it to almost Dark Souls level of difficulty, but in kind of a portable 2D type of setup. I mean, would you kind of think of it that way? Or, I mean, is it, first of all, is it difficult? Or
Yeah. It's the hardest SMT game I've played.
Okay. Personally. All right.
But that being said, the punishment for losing is pretty much nullified by the fact that it's on 3DS and it has to incorporate play coins in some way, which is to say, if you die, you can just pay play coins, and you will resurrect exactly where you were before you got into the battle that killed you, and you can just go straight from there. So if it was a boss fight, it'll start you right before the door that tells you, hey, go into this door and you'll fight a boss, and that sort of thing. You can also pay just regular in-game currency if you don't have any play coins. I guess if you were completely dry on both of those, you would have to just restart from a previous save point. But in terms of play coins I've had to spend, it's sort of randomized. The most I've had to spend is maybe 15 to resurrect, where it was the lowest I've had to spend is maybe 3. Hmm. So you're probably not going to run out of play coins if you're the kind of person who street passes a lot, which, to be fair, in the West...
Or walks around a lot. I mean, that's how you get
or walks around a lot. Yeah. If you use your 3DS as a pedometer, yeah.
Or you stand at your desk and just shake it nonstop for about 5 minutes.
I don't ever have play coins because as soon as I get them, I spend them.
I don't ever have any play coins because I don't know what to do with them.
Well, you resurrect yourself at Konami Tensei 4.
I buy fortune cookies in Animal Crossing.
Yeah, there's that.
There have been, you know, it's actually an interesting way to use, it's almost like, I don't want to say free to play, how they get you with microtransactions, but it is almost a weird microtransaction-y type of thing.
Yeah,
it is kind of
strange, but I mean, it's microtransactions for money that you don't and literally can't spend real money on, but the minute Nintendo decides to start monetizing play coins, the minute I hop off.
So you mean in like 2 months when they're like, well, everything else is tits up, so what we are now.
Stay posy.
You know, the one thing I would say about SMT4, though, it's something I think I've said on Twitter before, is that I wish it was on Vita, because the resolution to the game is...
Yeah,
it's not bad. It's a good looking, but I could.
You're also, I mean, you're playing it on the regular 3DS. You're playing on the regular 3DS, right? Not on the XL.
Right, but the XL stretches the resolution even more, so it wouldn't solve my problem.
But it does look better on the XL. I generally think games look better on the XL because it is at least a bigger screen. But no, I totally get your point. You got to think that Nintendo's next update will be a, for their next 3DS update will be a better screen, or their next portable console. But yeah, I definitely seems like it should be over there. But there's been all kinds of weird rumors about Atlas lately, and who knows what's going to happen with what they have going on, what contracts they have to fulfill right now, and who's going to who bought them, if anyone bought them yet. But ugh.
This game specifically was, I believe, co-published with Nintendo, or maybe not co-published, but there was some
in
kind
the
of
U.S. In the U.S., it was co-published, I think, by Nintendo. Yeah.
Well, there's a deal. This is, I think, the second of two or three games that are exclusive to Nintendo.
Sure.
Well, this, and then obviously SMT versus Fire Emblem is probably like the third one.
Yeah.
Wait, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Still a thing.
Last year, I think.
Yeah, I don't blame you for forgetting about it.
No, I never even heard of it.
Well, they've said jack shit about it since the original announcement, so, yeah.
Yeah, they went all Smash Brothers on that ass.
the whole thing with Atlas recently, I don't know, we haven't talked about this on the show, but Index Corporation, Atlas's parent company, got into some legal hot water. So the people were worried that the future of Atlas was unsure or something like that, but Atlas is the most profitable wing of that company, so they're probably fine. They're trying to sell them off as quickly as possible before they lose value. Mm-hmm. And the rumors that Dali mentioned were specifically that there kind of been rumors that either Nintendo or Sony would try to buy them out because both companies have lots of exclusives from Atlas.
I don't think it's going to be either. It's not going to be either.
I would see. I could even. I would much. I think it's much more likely that Atlas buys itself out and becomes an independent studio and does, you know, maybe does deals with publishers and stuff like that. Because going exclusive to a certain company right now probably wouldn't be the smartest move in this climate, especially early on before.
They got money for it and then they were publisher supported, I bet they would not care at all.
But right now seems like such a weird time to do that, right before the new consoles are launching, because we don't know where everybody's going to be in 2 years.
Well, if they got bought by Nintendo, you'd know exactly where they'd be. They'd be 3DS exclusive developers, and everything else would go to the wayside.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
There is approximately a 0% chance that Sony is going to buy them.
There's a what?
A 0% chance that Sony is going to buy them.
Yeah, Sony doesn't have the money to buy them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I presume. I don't know how much Atlas is actually.
They are digging money out from under the mattress to pay for the PS4 marketing right now. So,
but you could potentially see Sony saying, "Hey, you know what? Every Persona game has been exclusive to Sony platform. We could buy that IP from you," and that could potentially happen.
I don't think Atlas would get rid of it.
That is Atlas' most profitable their most profitable series.
Yeah, that's true.
By a long, long while.
Go ahead.
The first published game with Nintendo exclusive was Tree and Odyssey 4, I think.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I forget Atlas made that too. God. Atlas is freaking awesome. They are really kind of this great small publisher developer.
Persona team is great.
They have a lot of great. They do a lot of great. You know who's potentially pick them up is XSEED. I could definitely see XSEED pick them up because XSEED is great at
publishing thing has worked out for them, which I'm not sure it has.
They've done a good job at bringing over some Japan exclusive to the U.S.
Like the crazy Japanese games.
Yeah, which is what these are. Yeah, it's true.
They made a good chunk of money on the last story, I know.
Yeah. That's true, yeah. I mean, the thing was already developed.
Yeah, but not that good of a chunk.
I would probably see a merger between Atlas and XSEED before I would see one of them buying the other out.
Sure. And you've also been playing Shadowrun Returns?
Little bit, not much. It's a new Shadowrun game.
I heard that you can only play a little bit of that game.
Yeah, there was actually a massive patch recently, so I need to check it out to see if this has been changed. But there is no manual saving in that game whatsoever.
Really?
It is all checkpoints. There's not even a save and quit. It is entirely checkpoint based, and it only checkpoints between scene transitions. So. You can go through an entire level or sort of kind of entire area. If you don't walk into a door that transitions the scene, it will not save, and you will have to play that entire level over again.
Uh-huh.
That's dumb.
That's pretty dumb. The game itself, beyond that incredibly ridiculous oversight, is pretty cool. It's based on Shadowrun, the tabletop RPG. So it's like Magic and Cyberpunk kind of blending together, sort of elves and trolls, but they jack into the Matrix and such.
Actually thought this was like the remake of the NES game.
Oh, no, the Super Nintendo game?
Yeah.
It is made by the development team is a bunch of guys who worked on that game.
Oh,
so
wow.
It is not a remake of that game at all, but it is actually more of a sequel because the protagonist of that game actually shows up as a companion character in this game and kind of gets involved with the story, which is super weird because Shadowrun was a great SNES game, but I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a very sizable audience of people that like remembers a damn thing about it. Besides me, because I really liked it and played it.
You didn't like the Xbox 360 PC version that came out.
Oh, years.
That was a good game.
It was a good game.
With no people playing it.
Yeah.
It was a good game with no people playing it, and the longest matchmaking time I have ever seen.
Well, I think a little bit of that comes together at some point.
Mm.
No, never.
Yeah, I remember renting that the week it came out because I thought it looked really dope. Hooking it up to my Xbox up in my attic, and getting ready to play with my friends, and we sat there for a half hour waiting for it to matchmake while we just did other stuff, hoping that we would find a game. And it was part of the matchmaking thing in that one was partially due to the sort of connected Vista Xbox 360 matchmaking thing.
Oh,
too.
That's right. That was games for Windows, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Oh, yeah. Lord.
Theoretically, they played together.
This
is not anything like that. That was a first-person shooter. This is basically XCOM Enemy Unknown. But if you took out all of the base building stuff and replaced it with Baldur's Gate or Planescape Torment, like an Infinity Engine RPG, not Madden Infinity Engine, but the BioWare Infinity Engine.
The real Infinity Engine?
The true Infinity Engine, the once and future king.
Those are real dumb names. Just throwing that out there.
What are real dumb names?
The names for these engines.
Mm-hmm.
Infinity and Rage. What's the new one called? The new sports engine.
Inferno.
Fire thing.
Visceral engine.
Point is, I don't think anyone even cares what the name of the engine is. So why even, give it some fancy name?
So they could upset everyone by recalling it Infinity.
They should call it the Katana engine. Remember that, guys?
Katana? Nope.
No.
That was the
Dreamcast code name.
Yeah, that was the Dreamcast code name.
And I think the Saturn code name too.
I thought the Saturn code name was Dreamcast, or what am I?
No,
the Dreamcast wasn't Dreamcast like Neptune or something. Oh no, there was a Neptune planned. That's right. Wasn't like the Neptune going to be a another weird console or portable thing?
It was made and not released.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Something it was a weird, Saturn like, spinoff.
Huh.
Like a version of the Saturn or something. Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
The Saturn cartridge. We got the Sega CD.
They went backwards.
We figured out that this whole CD, this disc-based gaming thing is just a fad. We're going back to cartridges.
Going back to cartridges.
Says Nintendo in the N64 era.
There you go.
Shadowrun. I haven't played a ton of it. It is the writing is pretty fun. Mm-hmm. It's really like really kind of not winky self-aware, but like self-aware in that they know what kind of story they're telling. So it's very crime noir, cyberpunk, very evocative of Neuromancer, but again, with like heavy RPG mechanics and orcs and elves and dragons and things. I kind of really like that universe, the Shadowrun universe, so I really dig the aesthetic and everything, but the actual gameplay is super fun too. Like I said, it's basically XCOM with a couple of twists. It's even got, basic concepts of Overwatch. Maybe a slightly more accessible version of XCOM. It's not quite as hard, except that healing in the game is limited to, like, any damage you take never regenerates. You have to find med packs or use magic spells to heal yourself and stuff throughout the entire game. But apparently, I haven't gotten this far, obviously, but towards the end of the game, before the final encounter, there's no way to buy new med packs and stuff like that. So whatever damage you have going into that area, you go in with. It doesn't sound like it's going to be super, super long, but it comes with its own built-in suite of, like, campaign editors, and I've already seen Steam Workshop people working on a complete remake of the original Shadowrun SNES game, like you mentioned, Eric. So if you want, you can actually go back and play a version of that story, all just totally rewritten and done again in this sort of gameplay engine, which the original Shadowrun didn't play like this. It was like a real time game, so it's kind of strange, but it's super neat. It's only like $20.
Okay.
It's a Kickstarter success story, so that's kind of worth noting just for that. It's a Kickstarter game that came out, and a Kickstarter game that came out, and it's actually good.
A Kickstarter game that came out, and a Kickstarter game that came out that's actually good. I think that's, yeah.
So, how many months after its projected release did it actually come out?
It got actually pushed. I don't think it was...
It wasn't much.
It was a huge pushback.
Yeah.
It was like 3 weeks.
Yeah,
it was supposed to come out. It was supposed to come out like really early this July. It came out like the 24th or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was the entirety of the pushback. Oh yeah. God, I sound like Garnett Lee right there. The entire T.
The entire T.
Really like hit those T's really hard. Entire T. But I can't wait to play more of the Infinity Engine. yeah. So Shadowrun Returns.
Cool. It is a game. I think our review should be going up in the next day or so here. And you actually you have another review of a game that you've been playing, which was it? What's it called? Is it Arcania or Arcadia?
Oh yeah,
Gothica.
You didn't even put that on the list.
It's like a Gothic. Yeah,
Gothic 4.
Gothic.
I cannot believe that we are going to have a review of that game.
It's written. It's in the drafts.
Yeah, I'll be editing it shortly.
The game is like 8 years old.
Just under 3 years old. Yeah, they're re-releasing it now.
Not only that, because they are high on dust.
Not only that, but they actually re-released it in Europe a month ago.
Yeah, yeah. And for some weird reason, like it was Europe. Held back in the U.S. and nobody knows why. So
nobody knows that the game is coming out.
Yeah,
so
that's probably fair. Why. Which, in fact, it's probably already in stores and nobody knows that it's out.
I believe it came out today. Recording, I think it's in stores.
All right. So that's what we've been playing. I actually did put out a Mind Freak call, so we will announce the winner at the end.
I've been playing games too.
Shoot. Yeah, we should talk to Eric. Tell us, Eric, what are you playing? I wasn't trying to skip over you, I promise.
There's just a couple of things I have to mention. One game Steven will like, one game everyone but me likes, apparently. Mm-hmm. We'll start about Rayman is Rayman Origins mm-hmm. is a game.
A great one. Yeah, a great one. Great.
I don't know if the great one status is true. Because I had to replay like too many levels to get my Electoons going,
to get the point totals up, or
yeah,
you have to get certain ones
progress.
To unlock. Which, you know what, I really want that mechanic to die. On
yes,
it's everywhere. All of a sudden, it's pop back up. It's everywhere.
I do not have the time to replay levels because you decided I didn't do it well enough.
Exactly. You should not have to replay a level if you've already completed it.
Like the challenge should be getting through the level, not doing some stupid collect all of this stuff. Keep your eye on the lookout for extra doors to go through.
And so, then you'll be like, God, I got one more star to get, but everything is like... Or one more Electoon to get, and everything is like you've gotten the most you get the other ones. Where the hell are you missing one? And
But the thing about Rayman Origins is you don't need to do that method of, you don't have to delve into that kind of gameplay if you don't want to, because you can get enough Electoons to get to the final level just by doing other versions of it. By beating the level, you unlock Electoons. By beating it in a time trial, you unlock levels. So
replaying it over and over again. Yeah.
It's a replay in time trial.
That sounds real dumb.
Oh, Jesus. I can't understand anything you guys are saying because you're just all talking over each other.
What?
You guys are all just talking over each other, so I couldn't hear you.
You basically said what I did, that you have to replay a level to...
But you were specifically saying that you have to replay a level searching for the electrons and stuff. There are different ways to replay the levels. Like,
whoa, man, that's...
But it's still replaying a level. You know,
exactly.
Shut up. Super Meat Boy. You replay those levels like 1,000 times because you get to the end and die, and then...
No, because I didn't finish the level.
In Super Meat Boy. Yeah, but also in Super Meat Boy, if you want, you can go back and play through. There are rewards and stuff.
If you want.
Yes.
Not you need to.
But you don't need to get all the Electoons to progress through this game.
Yes, you do. You need to get a certain amount.
Time.
Well,
no.
You
there were two separate
amount.
Times I had to go back and replay levels because I didn't have enough of the like little petal things, star things, to get ahead.
Yeah, it does gate the progress, but there are, if you are into time trials and stuff like that, like...
So, if I am into replaying these levels in a different way, I can replay them a different way, is what you're
what
saying.
What I'm trying to say is that you are... Fuck off, Dally. There is... If... I'm not even going to talk to you guys, so this is ridiculous. No,
you're on delay. You're on delay, Steven. That's why it's you're not hearing us.
No, that's not. I can hear you guys. I'm just trying to
avoid us.
Well, I'm trying to, like, I feel like I get ganged up on, and then I don't know what to say. I feel like I get put in the spot, on the spot.
Nobody put Stevie in the corner?
Nobody put Stevie in the corner. Nobody but you, Eric. You know I can't stay mad at you, baby.
Clearly.
No. But what I'm trying to say is that I take issue with you saying that replaying through a level is an inherently bad part of a bad design decision. And more to what I'm trying to say is I think that you are trying to say you just don't like replaying these levels or this game. Like I play Velocity Ultra and I replay levels over and over and over again to get time trials and stuff because I really enjoy trying to chase
those perfect levels. You replay levels because you want to.
Yes.
Exactly. Not have to.
Right, but for me, that's not what I'm trying to say. Is that that's not an issue for me because I want to do that anyway. But you are saying that you don't like it because you don't like
because I have levels, to do it. I don't like replaying levels because I have to. That is what I'm saying. Like full stop.
Yeah, there are some fantastic levels. I mean, a lot of the levels are amazing in Rayman Origins, but if you don't have enough of those Electoons, you have to go back and replay the levels, whether it's through time trial, one of the other ways, you have to do
sure.
that. But so sure. What Eric and I are saying is that not that we don't like playing those levels, but we, in order for the progression to continue, you are forced to replace whatever That's... level it is, which to us is a barrier because you can get frustrated.
No matter how you are replaying it, you are replaying it.
That's fine, but what I'm saying is that if you're the kind of person who likes replaying the levels anyway, it never becomes an issue, which is what I'm saying is a design choice, not necessarily bad design.
But then it should have been a choice, right. Not forced.
That is only, but again, though, like, that is like you saying, like, it should have been a design choice for me to be able to not shoot anybody in Call of Duty and just walk from one end of the hallway to the other.
No, it's different.
Yes. That is not anywhere close to the same thing.
It's totally different.
Yeah, I can't get through the end of this Call of Duty level unless I shoot people.
If they designed every single Call of Duty game to allow you to make it through without shooting, that half the time they made you go back and shoot guys.
But they make you go back and shoot guys every level.
Yeah, or you didn't shoot enough guys.
Yes. Oh, you only shot 30 guys instead of 32. Guess what? You got to go back and play that level again.
That is dumb.
Yeah, so it's like it's definitely a quantitative thing where even if you complete a level and finish the level, which the levels are part of a narrative, whatever, as minimal as it is, you complete the narrative, you finish that level, you still have to replay, whether it's that level or a different level, you still have to replay a level to get enough electoons or stars or coins to pass on, which you shouldn't have to. And what we're saying is you've already completed the level.
Yes, then why just not just make that all voluntary?
I know what you're. I know that you're saying that you guys don't like that. That is a thing that you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
But all I'm saying is, I agree with you that from your perspective, if that is not a thing you like to do, then it's fine for you not to like that. But if the game is designed in a certain way and it appeals to a certain audience who likes that thing, that is never a problem for them. For me, that was never a problem because I like free playing through levels and I like trying to get, you know, time trials and trying to go through all that kind of stuff to get every last little thing. And if the game doesn't appeal to you, I think it's a qualitative thing, not a quantitative thing, is what I'm trying to say.
So I'm saying it is too low of a quality.
For the first time in a long time, I'm agreeing with Eric on something.
Yeah.
I know. I'm surprised.
It's like because Steven's we are off. The adults of the conversation who have no free time.
We have no free time. And that's a huge part. That's actually a very good point. I don't have the time to go back and replay level. Listen, so Lollipop Chainsaw just happened to me. I'm on to like the second to last level or the third to last level. And I was really tired last night, and I'm like, all right, you know what? I know this auto saves. I'm just gonna quit the game, and I'll play tomorrow.
Okay.
So here's a mistake I made. Instead of just turning off the Xbox from within the game, I decided to back out. I hit go to main menu. Went to the main menu, And then I'm like, wait a minute, go back to the main menu. When I go back to the overworld map, it shows me having to re-enter the same zone. Re-enter the same zone, have to start from the very beginning of that. I don't have the time to do that, and it sent me back.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. So, yeah,
it's a time thing. Dally, what about racing games?
Racing games are different because the game is designed to use different cars to try on the tracks. It's a different – I mean, I will say this. If I'm forced to do the same tracks and use the same cars over and over again – like Gran Turismo pisses me off because they have the licensing system. I think it's totally bad how they do it there. But Forza does a great job of it because Forza is through the season.
Gran Turismo, that is it's almost exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Drive this Honda Civic on this track 3 more times because you aren't good enough with it yet, this game.
But in Forza, hold on. Forza, is there never a point where you say like, okay, you need to get like third place or higher in this race to proceed to unlock the next track or the next event or anything like that? It's just you can play any race you want at any point with any car throughout the entire game.
I think
there's no unlocking.
I think Forza allows you to do that. Forza, because it's season based, it's like you're waiting till the very end of the season. If you do shitty that season, you just don't get enough money. But you look at like Mario Kart does that. Mario Kart says if you don't get like third place or higher, or you get a certain amount of points or higher, then you can't continue. But that's I guess that's assumed going into the nature of racing games, and platforming games aren't like that. See, you're laughing, but the goal of it, for me, when I picked up Rayman Origins, I thought, this is a beautiful platforming game. I can't wait to see what each of these levels are like. I couldn't do that because there were times where I had to go back and play the time trials, play specific levels once, or play like a whole series of levels more than once just so I can rack up enough of the Electoons, which prevented me from checking out the other levels. I think it's different between different types of games. I mean,
like, it's... If you played straight through it, like, without having to replay, it's still, like, a 10-hour game.
Yeah, it's definitely.
So I don't know why they felt like artificially enhancing the length of it.
I want to get back to what Jelly just said here, is like about expecting it. Like,
yeah.
Basically, it's, okay, this game is what I wanted it to be, so going in, and what
no,
I expected,
it's, no, no, it's expect
a,
it makes it better. The,
of the platform. Of
the
platformer.
Type.
Yeah.
But that is any game of any genre.
So
why?
So hold on.
Why? Hang on. No, I've got the perfect thing that Steven just said. Why is no hard saves at any point in Shadowrun Returns a bad thing? Because you expected them to be there. Because that's a part of the genre.
Okay. You know what? That's fair enough. That's actually a good point.
And again,
it's just something you expect to have happen.
And I think, you know, if more games did what Rayman Origins did, which I'm sure Rayman Legends is going to do and other games are going to start doing, it'll become more accepted and I'll just start to expect it. I think gamers will start to expect it, but we don't right now. Being forced to go back to do certain things. Because the people that are playing Rayman Origins are also trained on, you know, like Angry Birds and Cut the Rope, which is... You beat the level, you can progress. You don't need to get stars to get to the next level. Yeah, you might need stars to unlock the whole big next set, but to progress through the big chunk, you can still make it through without, you know, having to replay certain levels. So I think
I'm going to agree with you guys that the argument that, you know, you can expect certain things is a viable argument, but I'm going to disagree that you should have gone into Rayman Origins expecting that this in this specific case I'm going to disagree with it, and I'm going to say that I liked that because I like to do that anyway, and the fact that it encourages it in some way
is fine
with me.
I hope that in at some point in Shin Megami Tensei 4, when you're playing it, you go through an entire dungeon with just the worst, most difficult boss on the planet. It makes you want to throw your 3DS for more than one reason. And then after the battle, it says, oh, wait, that was a dream. You have to redo this whole section all over again. Because that's basically what it feels like.
That'd actually be pretty funny.
Yeah, that would be. I'm sure it's happened in games before.
Yeah, it's
that is kind of what it.
Ghouls and goblins, yeah.
Or if it says, you know what, you didn't beat this final boss of the game in fast enough time. It took you 5 minutes and 4 seconds. You have to beat it in 5 minutes and 2 seconds
again,
or less.
Again, though, Dally, again, you've gone back to basically saying that this entire concept as a whole is a bad thing, as opposed to saying
no.
Implemented in specific places that it's a thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is...
presentation was just bad.
And again, exactly. And presentation is a big part of it. And the way it's implemented in... certain games, Rayman Origins, that's what we're saying. I mean, we welcome it in other types of games. We're used to it in racing games. We expect it in racing games. We expect it in some puzzle games even, but you don't really expect it from a platformer. It's when it happens, you're taken aback and saying, wait, crap, I have to play this all over again, or I have to play these same levels over again because I just want to play the game.
You say that, I don't think that I would be happy with this kind of system in any game.
Well, I'm fine with it in racing.
So you don't like Wipeout or Mario Kart?
Oh, I actually really don't like Wipeout, but that's more because of the control.
You just play baby games.
Matt has a question.
Okay, good.
In Rayman, I guess, does it tell you, like, oh, you need this many to get to the next level, or does it finish?
When you get to the, like, bridge.
The bridge.
Or whatever. Yeah, like, after you complete the levels. It says you need X number to go beyond here.
So really, it's just a presentation thing where they should, like, if they had, like, a UI element that just said, oh, you need this many still to get to the next section.
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't be such a big deal because then you'd plan ahead.
Yeah,
you might spend more time. Exactly. Go slower through the levels. Totally true, because then you know ahead of time. And yeah, definitely. Yep.
So, yeah, it sounds like they just made
a bummer.
A bad design choice.
The other game I actually haven't finished yet, but I'm on like chapter 18.
By the way, that was a great conversation. That was
actually really good.
Steven, great job for being the devil's advocate on good things by talking about...
So he's not devil's advocate.
I was no devil's advocate. I was disagreeing with you.
I've been playing Devil May Cry, the new one.
Okay. DMC, you mean?
That game is weird.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It's fun.
Question mark.
Maybe.
Steven played this game when it came out, and I think he liked it a whole lot more than I am liking it now. But man, it is a weird game.
You know, it's
you do a hell of chopping, dudes.
Here's something talking about this game just spurred an idea that. Devil May Cry, Metal Gear Rising, Tomb Raider, a bunch of games that all released in, like, you know, maybe even Bioshock Infinite, that all released in, like, January, February, March, are going to be forgotten, are already getting forgotten because we just have new consoles circled. So people are going to, you know, I don't know what the long tail is going to be on these games. There may not be one on these games because everyone's just waiting for the new console. Devil May Cry is already forgotten.
That is a weird black hole, like Tomb Raider, Ni No Kuni, Devil May Cry.
Yep.
I think people are forgetting Tomb Raider because that ending sucked.
I still haven't played it.
I think that is just because of that time that it came out. It came out at a weird time. It almost feels zero year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sold great, and it feels like this zero year of like between 2012 and 2013 that never happened.
I think the only game that won't be forgotten is Bioshock because they're going to be releasing DLC.
So, if you're done talking about games, let's hop into some news.
Yeah, I guess I've been playing Devil May Cry, which is a fun game.
I liked it a lot.
On Steam sale for like $20, $25 maybe.
That Steam sale, Steam sale raped our wallets, man.
Don't.
It was good for that price.
Yeah.
I did not buy a single game during the Steam sale.
Mm-hmm. I bought way too many games.
just for the record, Matt, we're not trying to ignore you. You're just coming in kind of quieter than the rest of us.
Oh, no, it's fine.
Okay.
Steven, we're not trying to avoid you, Steven. You're just talking like a robot because your connection is so bad.
Yeah, I don't know what's been going on with my connection these last couple days. It's been really wonky. I actually got better internet, but I've been playing Dota 2 and keep lagging really badly.
Okay, I got...
See how funny Dally is when he's muted.
I got 8 games since the Steam sale started, so I just too many.
Why would you do that? Like, that's just
because they're like $3 to $20.
But if you're not gonna play them, it's just a waste.
It's like it's Eric's fourth copy.
I fully intend to play Star Trek.
Eventually,
Star
yeah.
Trek game.
And I'm sorry, that game came out too. Star Trek came out. Aliens came out.
A lot of these games, they were like second copies. Like even games I already had for PC, but I didn't have them on Steam. So I'm like, I better get the Steam version. So I always have it.
That's what I did with The Witcher 2.
You know, what I want to do to you physically right now.
Yeah. I got that Universe Sandbox, Dirt 3, Super Street Fighter 4. All those games I already have at least one copy of.
You know,
this
what?
Is my fourth copy of Super Street Fighter 4.
You're the problem. He's single-handedly helping prop up the gaming industry.
I have to get those Steam cards, man.
You just leave your computer on and they automatically come in.
It's like Bitcoins, except they actually work.
Exactly. I've made 30 cents, and I'm happy about it.
Matt, what are you trying to say?
Still dumb.
Oh, okay. Never mind. He's not saying anything important.
He's not being coherent. All right. Well, let's move on. Let's move on.
Still hard to hear.
Get into some news real quick.
What's in the dock?
What some the news. Fuck was that?
That's our new news intro. What's in the dock?
Off the what the cut new, that and news? Splice it. Yeah. So we have some fantastic posy news. This week was going to be a positive week so far. I think we've been good.
Since the last time we podcasted,
there's been a lot of stuff happening. So,
a lot of good albums come out. Gogol Bordello released a new album.
They did?
Edward Sharp released a new album. Yep, July 23rd.
Oh, no shit. I'm going to pick that bad boy up. I'm a huge Gogol Bordello fan. Excellent. That might have to be our
really?
New
I couldn't tell.
By the intro of this. And anyway, so. Another thing that came out.
The Outcast developers are planning on building a new game in the series.
That's awesome.
Because
that's
that isn't the most insane thing to ever happen.
They're great. That's fantastic. I love hearing just like crazy
That game
shit.
Was voxels, man.
There's a new Police Quest game coming out by the original developers, but it's not going to be Police Quest. But it's going to be an adventure game, so that's awesome. But the big news over the last couple weeks has been Xbox One. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of drama and that was going around with the indie side of things with the Xbox
Did
One.
Did you see the latest rumors from today?
We can get to that only if it's positive.
In the posy news.
In the posy news. The Xbox One now will allow for self-publishing. On top of that, every console can theoretically be used as a dev kit, which...
That hasn't been explained yet. But.
That hasn't been explained yet, but from the what I've spoken to other journalists who were kind of privy to that news ahead of time, because journalists were briefed on that a day or two before, and Game Informer broke that news ahead of time, and so then Microsoft had to just come out and spill the beans about it. But essentially what that means is all of our Xbox Ones will be able to accept dev code instead of having to wait for review codes, which is very different for those that do or don't know. A lot of times they'll send out specific types of review code to reviewers. If you have to have a dev version or dev kit version or a specific type of version of the Xbox or the PS3 to accept these codes. And a lot of them will allow you a direct link to Microsoft.
It is basically
or Sony. Yeah.
A dev kit is basically just a bootloaded 360 flash firmware in the DVD drive.
And it'll allow you to... get these codes for us as reviewers will be great because we'll be able to get codes even further ahead. Everybody on site can be a reviewer. One of the issues is if you get a hard copy of a game, like a retail version, you have to ship that around to people. So this is for the journalism side, it's going to be very good. For the user side, go ahead, Stephen.
I was just going to say the impact is somewhat lessened by the fact that like 90% of publishers these days just send you a Steam code.
True. Yeah. True, but there will be like Xbox One specific, especially with
but
the Kinect and so
the
forth.
Once the consoles rise above again, then that will start to be the platform. Because for the previous 5 to 6 years before
2012,
everyone was getting like green discs for 360 games.
Oh man, I can't wait! I can't wait for the next 4 years of people saying PC is dead.
I think that's long gone now. I think that I don't know if that'll ever come back. But and then obviously this indie's allowing a self-publishing. We don't know any nobody really knows too much more information, like what Steven and Eric were saying, beyond that this is going to be a thing. We do know it's not going to be available at launch, so it does kind of feel like maybe it was super reactionary and they kind of shoehorned it in, but it's great for developers. Obviously, some people still have some bad taste in their mouth just because of the way Microsoft has flip-flopped on a lot of issues, but regardless of that, this is fantastic.
If you want to talk about things I do not understand, it's people being upset that Microsoft is making good decisions.
So these are great decisions that the company's making. I think people have been worried because if they were – my standpoint, and this is me personally, I've been cautionary – cautionary because the rapid rate that they're able to flip their kind of – spin on these things or flip over their kind of I guess the focus of the console has been crazy because we were led to believe certain things were integral, you know, Kinect was integral, online was integral, and so to see these things all of a sudden disappear just makes me
nobody really believed that it was integral so far that they wouldn't be able to take it out if they wanted to.
Yeah,
I never believed it because there's nothing systems level built in 2013 that cannot be reversed.
True.
Like that is just a fact of.
But you know, it was all part of their messaging, and so I think a lot of people were worried that hey, if their messaging is going to flip this quickly, what's going to happen in a couple years now if Kinect is failing? Then they shut off Kinect. You don't need Kinect anymore, and people are pissed off that they have. So I think. I'm still a little bit. I'm not iffy. I mean, I'm actually much more positive now on the Xbox One. I'm just worried that it's still kind of unstable. But at the same time, all the news that's happened since E3 has been great for Microsoft. Like basically everything the week after E3, everything has since then. Everything's been really good for Xbox One fans.
Yeah, I actually don't like the direction they're taking it. Because I would have preferred the online way it's set up.
Sure.
But like even I can recognize that it's the way they should be doing things.
At least
like
right now.
If you like listen to any of our old podcasts leading up to E3, like 2 years before that, I'm like, there's no way Microsoft can make an always online system because there's no like support for that anywhere. Mm-hmm. And then they did, and I ate my hat a little bit. And then, like, a week later, I had to throw up that hat because they changed.
You had to learn to regurgitate. Anyways, it's great news. Hopefully, yeah. I mean, I know a lot of friends that were saying, hey, you know, now I can actually develop for both major consoles, which is pretty cool. And for PC, well, obviously, all three major.
Theoretically, consoles. It's going to be a whole lot easier for – oh, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's going to be as much, like, PS4 development now because
people had
to make to get like the quote-unquote free dev kits were kind of extreme. They had to be console exclusive games.
I think you'll see PlayStation probably taking a similar approach, but they've I don't know how loud they're going to be with their messaging. I mean, they may actually be waiting till Gamescom. Gamescom's next week, so there may be some news that breaks out of there.
Oh, Jesus.
But
most of this news was supposed to be released at Gamescom, but
regardless, it's great all around for the industry. The more outlets
everyone's coming up Millhouse.
Yep. Other great news.
Yeah. Well, hey, there's the rumors coming out today, but these are like heavy rumors. Sure. I haven't even heard anything about them except that Microsoft is thinking about dropping the price on the Xbox One.
Yeah, it was debunked.
Really?
Yeah, they went ahead. Somebody, I guess, from Microsoft debunked it. Said, nope, totally rumor, not true.
Yeah, and they also said a lot of stuff about other things too. So
then, you know what? There's still I think Microsoft right now is okay sitting at $499. They're definitely seen as more of a premium all-in-one entertainment device than the PlayStation 4 is.
I'm okay with $500 for that with a Kinect included.
Yeah, and I think they're going to gauge.
I just wish it included.
You mean you're okay with paying an extra $100 to be spied on?
I think they're okay.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is when you hear like, we understand why it's an extra $100. We know it's a Kinect, and that's really the only difference now. And so we've all kind of learned to accept it. But it's I still find it hilarious when people who are clearly Xbox like fanatics will say, "Well, it's really not a price difference because the PlayStation camera is $60 and the motion controller is $40, so it's $100, so it breaks even." No. Calm down, Xbox fanboy.
Well,
it's not.
You know,
there's an actual $100.
They are absolutely right, but
now they're not.
It just screwed all of the developers who were making games that required the PlayStation Move and the camera.
All I know is that the Xbox One.
That's my line.
It's all I know is you.
Tell me 20.
Well, all this cuddling we've been doing at night, you know, some of your euphemisms have been rubbing off on me. Wait, hold on.
Before you go any further, who's Big Spoon and who's Little Spoon?
I'm Little Spoon.
Oh, God, yeah.
I knew you were going with it before you did.
Yeah.
He's got the more, like, lateral size, whereas I'm a bit taller, so it just works out perfectly. I can wrap my arms around his big old bear trunk, you know, and bury my chin into a
bear
shaved head.
Is my nickname for my penis.
All right, let's move on.
No. I was going to say something.
About the motion.
All I know is that when I'm playing in the console genre, I expect to not be required to have connected when I'm doing it. And Sony gives me the option of using a camera and giving.
So you're allowed to go back and collect stars for Sony, but you don't have to do it if you don't want to. to open up the camera.
I'm saying that I literally cannot complete a level in a game on Xbox One, in any game, without having my Kinect connected. PlayStation is giving me the choice.
There you go. That's excellent. Well played. Other good news, the 3DS has finally caught on in the West, so that's a good sign. It sold 225,000 units in June, according to NPD. Animal Crossing moved 500,000 plus units, came in second place behind the stellar Last of Us. So it continues to say that, hey, you know, handheld gaming is not dead. We all know that phones and tablets have kind of taken hold, but there's still a certain experience that, and this may very well be the last big handheld generation, but it's just good to see the 3DS, and hopefully the Vita will get its act together here soon and also get its sales up. But it's good to see that handhelds can still make a difference, especially the way that people are trying to save money right now for the next-gen consoles. So you're going to see – I'm sure you'll see this summer more people buying handheld units than consoles and stuff. So, it's great. Just good to see.
Speaking of which it's getting to the point where I think more and more just handheld gaming is dead, is increasingly the PC gaming is dead, because 3DS has been doing very well over here. Like you said, it's been doing very well in Japan for a while. Mm-hmm. Even the Vita, after Dragon's Crown came out, Vita has been selling a lot better in Japan now.
It's got a big bump only like 10,000 that and, a month. Or a week.
But the other thing about the Vita is just that it sells a bunch of games per console, and that is a healthy sign too. And I've said it many, many times on this show before, I prefer handheld gaming to console gaming.
Yeah, you know, I'm in the same boat. And I'm a firm believer that Nintendo's next console is actually going to be a merger of the handheld and console, probably with some like
You mean sort of like the Wii U?
Well, no, I'm thinking it'll actually be a handheld unit that you can dock at home, and it becomes,
I usually only do docking
for TV.
No, but you can dock it to your TV. You only do docking. I just got it, Eric. I only do docking.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm much more handheld gaming. Yeah, definitely.
Do you think that Nintendo's next console will have like a little lunchbox style handle on it? I think that could really revolutionize portable gaming.
Their current one has it's kind of like a handle, right? I guess the gamepad. We need more lunchbox handles. And finally, the last bit of good news. BioShock,
new Mortal Kombat game.
Well, that actually that is
yes,
that is true. There's a new Mortal Kombat.
The once and future king of fighting games.
That was
turned.
New Mortal.
Well, we knew
I own two copies.
So we knew that was going to happen eventually. We just didn't know how soon. But this is let's see, Mortal Kombat released in 2009? Was it or 2010? Was it 2010 or 11?
Yeah, it was Mortal Kombat 9.
Wow, 2011.
It was
2011.
It was Mortal Kombat 9, though. Yeah, so that might be where you're confused.
Yeah, so...
And I guess 2012 and 2013, because 2012 was Vita and 2013 was PC.
And Injustice. True. 2013 was Injustice, which is the same mechanic. But so, you know, we could very well see the next Mortal Kombat in 2014, which could be very cool, especially on like next-gen and current-gen stuff. But news kind of broke by accident.
I want a next-gen fighting game.
Yeah, same here.
Like if Street Fighter 4 doesn't come out on like Xbox and PS4, I'm going to be upset.
It will eventually. We know it will. It just, it may not be. I just don't think it'll be rebuilt from the ground up because they've got.
No, I don't want it to be rebuilt from the ground up. I just want the same game, so I have, so I don't have to plug in. Sure. Yeah, so I don't have to plug in my 360 to keep playing.
And could you imagine?
I do want to say. Street Fighter.
Go ahead.
Oh, I do want to say about Mortal Kombat 10. I'm a huge Mortal Kombat 9 fan, and I really, really want to see what they do with the story from here, because I still think Mortal Kombat 9 has the best storytelling of any fighting game.
It totally
ever.
Does. Totally does, yep.
That's true.
And that the ending of that game is crazy for that franchise.
Yeah, it is. It's great.
I can't wait for them to remake Mortal Kombat 4, 5, and 6.
Oh, God. I really hope not.
You know what? If they did, but they actually managed to make it work, I'd be fine with that.
No.
I would be incredibly interested if they tried to take it 3D again.
I think ooh, yeah, I think they made a firm stand.
Because
but...
the 3D wasn't inherently bad, because MK vs. DC is a fantastic game. It's just Mortal Kombat 4 through 7 were just bad games.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, you know what's really interesting is Mortal Kombat versus DC spun off into Mortal Kombat 9 and Injustice.
Yep. Yep.
Which I'm actually looking for. I might actually just pick up MK vs. DC for the hell of it.
Well, they use the reset of the universe in MK vs. DC to set up MK9, good thinking.
So that's
and
good.
That
good
whole method of storytelling is directly the same exact kind of thing they use in MK9 and in Injustice. Although it would be crazy interesting to see them to try and pull off like a crazy technical 3D fighting game, but I think that at this point the mind share for fighting games, especially with Evo doing as well as it did, is just in the 2D fighting game space. And plus, fuck 3D fighting games. Fuck Soul Calibur. What?
Virtua Fighter is amazing. Soul Calibur 2 and 3 are good too.
I just don't. I have said before, fuck 3D fighting games, but it's just not my kind of. I don't like 3D fighting games. Tekken can go, blow itself up in a volcano. I don't care.
Excellent. All right, and the final bit of good news, we finally have the
Bully trademark.
We finally have the BioShock Infinite DLC announced.
I don't know if that's good news.
Yeah, so BioShock Infinite DLC.
You don't want to talk about this if you want me to keep it posy.
Okay, then you can I'll mute you. There's some fighting part of BioShock DLC that's coming out that came out yesterday. Whatever, forget about that. In the next two pieces of BioShock DLC will be a two-part kind of novella style game, Minerva's Den length, I guess you could say. That stars Booker DeWitt and Elizabeth heading to Rapture, which is cool.
So, one thing that is super interesting
down.
About this, to me, what is the most interesting part of this, and I think it really resonates with us, the side questing BioShock 2 appreciation cast, is that BioShock 2 comes out and says, we're going back to Rapture, and everybody's man, fuck that. You cannot touch this giant, this fucking titan of visual design. And then they say, oh yeah, guys, we're going back to Rapture. And everybody's like, fuck yes, this is the greatest thing to ever grace my lips.
I think the difference is that this is a very different time, at least for me. It's a very different time in Rapture, right? It's well before anything fell apart, and it really focuses on Booker and Elizabeth and their story and how they were a part of Rapture and I mean, I'm not going to spoil BioShock Infinite.
We don't really know that much about it.
We don't. We don't. That's all we know about it.
You're saying a lot of. I don't.
No, this has been confirmed.
I know it takes Rapture.
The Booker and Elizabeth story, man, that shit is over. I played that game to completion.
That's what I'm saying. Is the impression I got off of this was that this wasn't going to be Booker and Elizabeth going to Rapture. This was going to be alternate universe Booker and Elizabeth.
Yes. But it's
Rapture version of Booker and Elizabeth.
That is such a lame excuse that they're going to trot out when they could have gone full on side story in Columbia.
Yes.
Actually, I would have loved a Paris side story. I thought that would have been
a city where we haven't spent two full 15-hour games already.
Plus an expansion.
Yes.
You gotta get those assets.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's my other thing too. Is they announced BioShock, the first part of that DLC, and they say like you're gonna be playing through Rapture as Booker, and then they say and the third piece of the DLC is going to be in the exact same place, but you're gonna be playing as different characters. Like my immediate thought was like, oh, I guess that the DLC was taking too long, so they said why don't we just reuse all the assets from number two and put them in number three and have you play from the perspective.
Well, here's the bad part. They can now finally start production on this DLC because they've been working on the shooting one.
Entirely designed by the combat team. The story team had nothing to do with it. So presumably the story team has been working on the BioShock stuff. Stuff for a while.
I sure hope so, and I sure hope that we get these out sooner because it's the next season already. Basically, right when you think a season passes, how long does a season pass?
Well, they did say one full year from now is when this ends.
Always bums me out. Just side note, and I went on a Twitter rampage about this like a month or so ago. Season passes, and I see less and less when you don't know exactly when things are going to come. It says it'll be here within the year. Well, that could be all of them could come out like the month of that last part of that year. By then you're already well done with the game.
So this has actually reignited some of the season pass discussion, and I've heard lots of different things, people saying it, different things. Like the two things that I want to address, though, are like people keep saying, like, okay, BioShock, people say, well, if you work on the DLC while you're working on the main game, then, screw you. But if you work on the DLC after the game's already out, well, screw you, and there's just no winning. And my comment to those people would be, no, the problem with that wasn't that they – did the right thing and everybody, crucified them for it. What they did was they said, well, we're going to start working on this DLC afterwards, but now you can buy it now. By the way, we're not going to tell you anything about what it is.
That's the same thing that stuck my craw is. Like,
it did what? It
stuck in my craw. And you can say that all you want, but you can't start talking about it 4 months after the game comes out.
Mm-hmm. Right. You can say we're going to have a season pass, but you don't charge people. The way that the place they screwed up is where everybody else screws up.
They can do whatever the hell they want. Just people need to not be goddamn retards and buy stuff they know literally nothing about.
No, Steven, make your point, because I think you're actually a good point.
Well, I was just going to say that everybody kind of, especially people in the journalistic community, came rising to irrational defense, saying like, "Well, you just can't win in this industry. People are going to complain." And they made it's not a matter of how long it takes you to put. It's not a matter of how long it takes you to put stuff out. It's a matter of you are charging people money for something that they don't even know what it is. Because this, I could have bought the season pass, and I would never have bought it if I had known that one of the pieces of content was going to be a fucking challenge room that has nothing to do. They said single player content, and that was fucking snake oil, because you say single player content for a story driven game, and you assume it's going to be story content.
Steve, remember, the story got in the way of the combat mechanics, literally what they said in the press.
Which is the fucking dumbest thing I've ever heard anybody at that company say.
I cannot believe they actually said that. I literally cannot believe they said that. I didn't hear them say that because I didn't read any of the news about that stuff.
So
they did say that.
I totally agree with you, Steven, and I think the biggest issue for me isn't season passes in general, because season passes can work in certain situations. Like, for instance, Forza racing games, not just Forza racing in general, you know right away you're going to get monthly content, and so I really wish that. And this is the beef that I had, that We heard nothing about the season, and that's why I opted not to get the season pass.
Yeah, same with me.
Because we didn't know what was going to happen, and so what was the season pass going to be? It says single player content. Is it you're going to get one? You're going to get two story missions and one combat mission. If that's all you said, and said we're going to release more information on a bi-monthly basis or whatever, because you do need to keep things transparent. I mean, it's like a pre-order, right?
Right.
You need to kind of understand, and so they just they kind of dropped the ball a little bit on this. They weren't transparent.
It's like doing a Kickstarter and saying, "Hey guys, we're going to make a game. We're not going to tell you what kind of game it is. We're not going to say what genre or who's working on it or what kind of gameplay you can expect. But rest assured, we're making a video game. Now please give us money for it ahead of time."
I don't know. I don't think there's much difference between like this season pass and something like Double Fine Adventure. They said we're going to make an adventure. Like that is literally all they said.
And now it's late, and now like people like me are kind of pissed off because Double Fine Adventure screwed up their. Well, we're not going to get into negative. We're going to stay positive. We'll save next week for next.
I wouldn't say necessarily.
Double Fine was very thoughtful in expanding the game, and they had to politely extend the release date until January.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's a bummer.
They could have handled it better.
Yes. To me, a better analogy probably then would be it's the reason that like the microtransactions in Mass Effect 3 and Dead Space 3 are dirty because they're not asking you to gamble at a certain point. They, like especially in Mass Effect 3, you buy loot chests, but you don't know what you're getting. You're getting random loot in these chests, but you're paying the same amount of money, and it could be something completely worthless to you, but they're asking you to just, you know, take it on faith that it might be something.
Eric, our faces were priceless. If only people could see that.
Eric,
Matt, and I all created, like, the same bizarro face at the same time. Your network is so bad. Basically, ladies and gentlemen, Stephen Strum said something. None of us know what he said. We're sure it was great and positive. On that note, we're going to shut off the side quest. But before we do that, we're going to choose our Mind Freak of the Week. So the question I posed on Twitter what was your worst what was your worst high school experience? And the winner gets a copy
of gaming?
No, just what was your worst high school experience? The winner gets a copy.
Deli, I don't think you understand how video game podcasts work.
I'll make a better one next time.
I don't think we do either.
Technically.
Fair enough.
And the winner gets a copy of the Humble Deep Silver bundle, including Saints Row the Third, Saints Row 2, Risen 2 Dark Waters, Sacred 2 Gold, Dead Island Game of the Year, and the Saints Row the Third full package with all the DLC.
That's a pretty good present.
That's a great present. Had a lot of replies. I'm going to read a couple to you that I think are maybe the best ones, and then you guys can choose the winner. I'm not going to say who they're from, so you guys are going to have to tell me what you think. So first reply, side questing. People kicked up mud. Oh, here we go. I'm sorry. I went to an after-school Magic the Gathering tourney. I won it and was given an ultra-rare card. On the way home, a car kicked up mud, and the card was splashed from my hand and into the drain. That's story number one. Number two.
That's your experience. First world problems. You lived a pretty fucking sheltered life.
Number two, being bullied because of the way I look.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah,
that one's not explicit enough.
Yeah, and
I think it's plenty explicit though.
And ex friends. Let me continue. And ex friends telling the rest of our friends to stop talking and hanging out with me. This guy had rough or girl. Oh. And the third one that I think is the best. The worst high school memory. Pfft, all of high school was my worst memory.
That guy tells it like it is, so I like him.
Matt, what's your pick? You have card mud magic guy. You have
Ugly man.
Because the way I look, and then you have all of high school sucked.
Well, that's the thing, though, is we don't know if he's actually if he got teased for being ugly, or if it was because of, you know, he was fat, or if it was a racial thing. Like, that's the thing. Like, we need more details on this. We need to give us your details of your horrible fucking life experience before we can make a decision.
Yeah, please send your email to podcast@sidequesting.com telling us all the excruciating details of why you were bullied because of the way you look. Because that's really
you could just relive the worst experience that has ever happened to you, so we can like make a podcast about it. That'd be great. Yeah,
we will devote an entire episode.
Let us know your trigger word at the same time, and we'll just drop it wherever we can.
That's totally true, Cinnamon.
Well, that's how we'll know that's how we'll know that they're telling the truth, is if we drop it just casually in conversation, and if they react, then we'll know that they were telling the truth. They didn't just want some games.
How are we going to know if they react? Like, they come murder us?
Well, no, I mean, presumably this person will own an Xbox One, so in 6 months we'll be able to see everything they're doing anyway.
Yes. Eric, what's your pick? We'll let Matt marinate a second there.
Whatever, the magic card, dude.
Matt,
you're going to choose the most first world problem one you could have?
Yep.
You disappoint me.
So one is it? Which of those?
Yeah,
three
come on, you're disappointing me. You're taking too long.
I was going to go with the bullying one because
So one of each. So I'm going to flip a three-sided coin. I'm going to flip a three-sided coin here. I have a Canadian coin. All right. I'm going to go with the just high school in general was his worst memory. I think that's very fair. Very fair assessment. Congratulations to Raymond Morales at SWPSTKRAY on Twitter. Swapskray.
Oh, good old.
Good old Swapskray. Congratulations, Swapskray, for not being bullied and not losing your magic card, just hating high school in general. You evil, evil, evil little man. You win.
You know what? He probably went on to lead far more successful lives than all of us.
Yeah, it's true, actually. By the way, his actual name is Jeff Bezos, and he runs Amazon.com. Congratulations, you get the Humble Deep Silver Bundle. If you would like to be...
Oh, I'm glad he could use that.
If you would like to be our mind freak, please follow us on Twitter at SideQuesting, and we'll let you know what the trigger word is, and you can
I really hope that we're giving these games away to the guy in high school who bullied the other two guys in high school.
That would be fantastic.
With the trademark filing of the for another bully game.
Yeah.
We're going to reward the best bully.
That's a great idea. Tell us your best bullying story. On that note,
this is a grassroots. This is our grassroots petition to Rockstar.
Please rate and review us on iTunes. It definitely helps. Email us with any of your comments, questions, trigger words to podcast@sidequesting.com. You can follow us. You can follow us on Twitter at SideQuesting is our main account. Find me at CoolRats. Find Eric
at Elamum.
Find Steven
at Stevenstrom, STEVENSTROM.
And you can follow Matt
at Champion_Matt.
Champion_Matt. And thank you, everybody. We'll see you guys in the next episode of The Side. Stay positive.
This song.